Hello and welcome to the Majlis. I'm Mohammed Tahir, Director of the Turkmen Service at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. As tension between Russia and Turkey continues to rise over downing of the Russian fighter jet on Turkish-Syrian border by the Turkish military, the Turkic nations of Central Asia have suddenly found themselves in the hot spot. Ankara and Moscow being two of their main partners, there is a price to pay to whatever side they take or remain idle. In this episode of Majlis, we discuss what is at stake for Central Asia in the current Russian-Turkish tension. To discuss the subject, from Russia, I have Nikita Menkovich, who is a researcher at the Russian International Council. From Turkey, I have Dr. Vugar İmanbeyli. He is International Relations Professor at the Istanbul Şehir University. And in the studio, I have Bruce Panier. He is the editor of Kishlak Avozi, a Central Asia blog at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Majlis.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bruce, I want to start with you, but first let's play an audio segment from Kazakhstan's President Nazarbayev on Russia-Turkish relations.
Все нюансы этого вопроса нам неизвестны, разные, но факт является в том, что российский бомбардировщик не нападал на Турцию, не шел на Турцию, шел воевать с террористами, и как друзья-соратники в борьбе должны были найти общий язык и не портить отношения, которые складывались много лет. Как бы трудно ни было, я считаю, надо совместно создать эту комиссию, быстро его закончить, определить виновных, наказать и признать ошибки и восстановить отношения. Я к этому призываю наших друзей и в России, и в Турции.
I guess almost all of us understand what the Nazarbayev was saying, but let me briefly explain for our audience who might be listening us later in a podcast form. He was saying, we are not aware of all different shades of this issue, but the fact is that the Russian bomber did not attack Turkey. It was not on its way against Turkey, but to fight terrorists. Bruce, it's a long audio. I just pick up a segment of that which was relevant to our discussion today and also indicative of his opinion on this tension. Bruce, what is your take on what he has just said? Also, what has been overall Central Asian reaction on war of words between Russia and Turkey so far, Bruce?
Well, although Nazarbayev didn't name anybody in particular and tried to be as diplomatic as possible, I think it was very significant that he mentioned that the Russian warplane wasn't attacking Turkey, that it was part of an effort to combat international terrorism. And then all of a sudden he came back to the point of, like, there needs to be an investigation and the people that are responsible for this need to be brought to justice. So he kind of made the case that Russia wasn't at fault at the very start. And then all of a sudden said, you know, but whoever is at fault needs to be punished. And you know, it seemed to me to be a hint that he considers Turkey to actually be at fault in this particular instance here. We understand that, of course, this is a very difficult situation, not only for Nazarbayev and Kazakhstan, but for Kyrgyzstan and Turkmenistan and Uzbekistan, because they don't want to aggravate ties with either Ankara or Moscow at the moment. So, you know, they've got good relationships with both those countries, long historical ties with Russia, ties with Turkey that have improved greatly in the last 25 years and predate, you know, the Tsarist incursion into Central Asia to begin with. So, you know, this is, for what it's worth, like I said, it seemed that Nazarbayev was leaning toward the Russian side of this whole thing. And I think this is a big debate in all the Central Asian capitals right now of how are we going to approach this. And that, I think that's a lot of the reason that you don't see or hear many comments coming out of the Central Asian capitals right now is because they really don't want to be in this position at all. And they're, I think all of them are hoping greatly that Turkey and Russia can work this out without the Central Asians having to be seen as favoring one side or another at the moment.
Did you come across with anyone else other than Nazarbayev from Central Asia commenting about this issue so far?
President Atambayev in Kyrgyzstan just expressed the hope that tensions would ease and called on both Ankara and Moscow to work on this and come to some compromise or figure out some way to ease ties between or ease these tensions that are broken out between them. But again, very middle of the road stuff, you know, not accusing anybody, not trying as much as possible not to show that he was on one side or another in this.
Right. Mr. Minkowicz, if you closely monitor Kazakhstan's position on this, at first they seemed neutral, limiting their reaction only with word of regret and calling for proper investigation. We have seen this in the statement released by the Kazakhstan's foreign ministry earlier. Now, in his latest comment, as just you heard, Nazarbayev is seen sliding towards Russian position. How did this transition might have happened?
First of all, in the first days, in the first hours after incidents, it was a possibility that it was just a kind of mistake, misunderstanding, and Turkey will apologize and will make some moves for compensation of this incident. But now, after time pass, we see that Turkey doesn't want to understand, doesn't want to declare its fault in this incident. They think that the situation was quite normal when a Russian plane fighting against terrorists in Syria was destroyed. Two Russian soldiers are dead. Turkey didn't anything to stop this practice. And now, when we're looking to the situation in the region, it seems like Turkey aviation, Turkey army, works as air defense of the terrorists in Syria, because they're trying to stop Russian activity, trying to stop Russian war against terror. It looks this way. So a lot of countries, including Kazakhstan, been quite disappointed of this situation, and they think that the Turkey is one who must do something to de-escalate the situation. That's the reason of the command by Nazarbayev we're discussing now.
So, Mr. Minkowicz, why the other Central Asian countries are not stepping up and sliding towards Russia then?
First of all, Kazakhstan is the biggest state of the region. This is the reason why Kazakhstan is most active in international policy. For example, Kyrgyzstan or Tajikistan are not as big and not as powerful. So they have a few reasons to be quite active on situation in Syria or in Mali or in Somalia or elsewhere, far abroad. That's the reason they're not quite active. In the future, they may back Russia or may not give any declaration of this incident. Both situations are possible.
Right. Dr. Iman Bailey, what is the view from Turkey about Central Asia and Azerbaijan's reaction so far, and what has been happening between Russia and Turkey?
As my colleague from Moscow underlined, that this state, especially Kazakhstan and Azerbaijan, who have close relations with both countries, Turkey and Russia, they felt, first of all, to contact with the Russian side, because upon many requests, Russian President Putin declared that he's not going to meet with the Turkish President Erdogan. Actually, I see that this is a really serious question, and this is beyond this plane crash. It is actually struggle or the clash of regional interests, and the war is going on the borders of Turkey. And I think the Russians, when they sent military or deployed airplanes on the border of Turkey, they could expect such incidents. But in Turkey, yeah, there were many contacts with Azerbaijan, also Kazakhstan, to mediate with Russia, with Mr. Putin. And I see the explanations, official explanations from Baku and from Astana, very careful. In Turkey, it's understood that they might be under Russian accusations, and therefore they just try to at least preserve their positions and to distance from this conflict, because it is not only related to Russia and the Turkey. These regional countries have developed with Russia, also Turkey, good relations. And I can say that even Turkey recent decade improved, also institutionalized relations with Central Asian countries, also Azerbaijan, also Kazakhstan. That's why we are discussing this, because these regional countries might be under the Russian accusations or the target.
Dr. Emanuele, I see Ankara is doing lots of diplomacy in the West to win their support. For example, Prime Minister Davutoglu was in Europe recently, meeting with the EU and NATO and American allies to win their support. And for to a certain extent, he is also succeeding to gain their support. But not much of Turkish activity has been among its Turkic brothers, as Ankara wants to call, in Central Asia, in Azerbaijan. Am I wrong?
Actually, recently, after this the aircraft crash, Foreign Minister of Turkey visited Baku. It was a traditional visit because the new government was newly established, and the first visits the foreign ministers paid to Azerbaijan. So they discussed also the issue from the news we know in Baku, that Baku also expressed her concerns on the deterioration of Russian-Turkish relations. And I know my personal contacts with these officials that they don't want any deterioration in Turkish-Russian relations, because they will be next target, or they will suffer also from the deterioration of these relations.
Right. Mr. Mankoc, what kind of Russian diplomacy taking place in Central Asia to get their support against Turkey at this moment?
Of course, it will be good if Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and other regional countries will support Russian measures against Turkey after this step in the back at the time of war against terror. But I don't think that Russia have a huge need of such help.
Mr. Mankoc, I want to give a microphone here to Bruce Panier, but before that, I also just came across with a statement, I believe, where Russian leadership is asking its allies in Eurasian Economic Union to get on board against Turkey. Also, there is an attempt by the Russian side to convince its partners in the region to press Turkey in this issue. Bruce, you want to say something?
Yeah, and I was just going to make the same point. I was going to ask Mr. Mankoc. I know that Medvedev had said just this last Monday that they needed to discuss with their partners in the Eurasian Economic Union the effects of limits or possible total suspension of the transport of Turkish goods through Russian territory, and what that would mean to their partners in the Eurasian Economic Union, which it seemed like he was talking specifically to Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan in this case. So there has been kind of a not so direct message sent to Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan, at least, that Russia expects that is aware of, one, that this is going to impact those two countries, and two, is looking for some support with the sanctions that they're going to put on Turkey, or at least some understanding for the sanctions they're going to put on Turkey. Don't you think so, Mr. Mankoc?
First of all, Russia, Kazakhstan, and Kyrgyzstan now is working at the borders of the main economical and custom union. So, if one country does implement sanctions against the third side, of course, all countries who are parts of this union are to discuss the situation. Because it's a new event, it's a new topic, and so everybody should be informed how they are going to work in new conditions. For example, you mentioned the question about transit of Turkish goods to Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan.
Hmm.
It is one possible question which should be discussed between our countries. I mean Russia, Kazakhstan, and Kyrgyzstan. Because Turkish goods are in most of the situations did transit through Russia territory. Of course, as I said before, it would be a good idea if all countries of Eurasia Union will implement the same measures, the same sanctions against Turkey. It would be just more easy for all of us, because nobody should be looking for any special ways that would block the possibility of using Kazakhstan or Kyrgyzstan market as a kind of window for Turkish goods to come to the Russian market from the back door, you see. The common policy in this question is really should be good. Common sanctions in this situation is also going to be good. But if they are not possible in this time, it is not a big problem. We can work with it. That's what I want to say.
Right. Thank you very much, Mr. Menkovich. Let's take a short break here. When we come back, we will discuss the Turkish-Russian tension from Central Asian perspective. As I was coming to the studio, the latest war of words between Turkey and Russia, the Russian Defense Ministry accusing the Turkish President Erdogan and his family being involved in the oil trade with the Islamic State. If you took into some of the recent claims, this is unprecedented when it comes to exchange of war of words between the state leaders against each other. And it seems only increasing and getting nastier. Where does this put Central Asia? So let's take a short break here. Welcome back to the Majlis. I am Mohammed Tahir, director of the Turkmen Service at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. In this episode of Majlis, we are discussing the implications of Russian-Turkish tension on Central Asia. Joining me in the discussion is Bruce Panier, editor of the Kishlak Awazi Central Asia blog at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. From Russia, I have Nikita Menkovich, who is a researcher at the Russian International Council. From Turkey, I have Dr. Ugar Imanbeyli. He is international relations professor at the Istanbul Seher University. Welcome back, gentlemen, to the show. Now, two main partners being in collision course. It is a tough spot to be for Central Asia and also for Azerbaijan, being one of the Turkic nations. Pressured by Russia, having soft spot for Turkey, what's at stake for Central Asia in this theater? Whether they take a side or remain idle, it is for sure that this tension is going to hit Central Asia. We spoke about the effect of trade already.
Right.
What do you expect to happen in days ahead?
You know, I mean, it's going to be different for each of the countries. There's no doubt about it. Kazakhstan, with a nearly 7,000-kilometer border with Russia, is in a unique position in this situation because it is going to be very aware of Russia's position all the time and make sure that any comments coming out of Astana do nothing to irritate the Kremlin whatsoever. Kyrgyzstan is very dependent on Russia for trade at the moment, and in many other things too, security, for example. So I would imagine also that with Kyrgyzstan, you're probably gonna, again, they won't want to bring it up very much publicly, but they're probably going to toe the Kremlin line as far as possible. Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan, I think, are the exceptions to this thing, where Turkmenistan has much better trade relations with Turkey than they do with Russia, for instance. Uzbekistan doesn't have particularly strong relations with either country compared to China, say, or something, which is the economic powerhouse now as far as foreign trade partner in Uzbekistan. So, you know, Uzbekistan will probably sit this one out to the greatest extent possible. It's clearly going to have some impact. There's also military agreements that go on with this. Now, we know that there's the Collective Security Treaty Organization, and Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, and Tajikistan are a part of that. But there have been training exercises for, I think, except with the exception of Turkmenistan, all the Central Asian countries that participated in military exercises with Turkey as well. Turkey is an investor in every single one of the countries, as Russia is, with the possible exception of Turkmenistan. So there's a lot of ties. Again, I'm sure that they hope, all the countries in Central Asia hope this goes away as fast as possible. The problem is, as Mr. Menkovich pointed out, it seems to be getting actually much worse. It was probably a situation that was possible to smooth over in the first hours and first actual couple days. It's gone beyond that now.
Yeah.
And then this is real problematic for the Central Asians as to how how they maintain their good ties. You know, I think you put it best when you said they have a soft spot in their heart for Turkey. I think all of them do, with the exception of maybe Tajikistan. They do have a soft spot in their heart for Turkey, and they would like, if Turkey was on equal footing economically and militarily with Russia, they would probably lean a lot more in Turkey's direction. That's not the case, and Turkey hasn't been the kind of partner that Russia has for more than 100 years in Central Asia. So this is, it's not an easy problem for them to solve. And again, I think that they're going to talk about it out of the capitals. I would expect them to talk about the Turkish-Russian problem as little as possible in the coming days.
Right. Dr. Emanbeyli, you might want to jump in here. What's the good balance for Central Asians between Russia and Turkey as this tension continues to rise?
Actually, first of all, I would like to note that I am not sure that the Russian administration may convince Central Asian also Azerbaijani administrations in that Turkey is involved in terrorist relationship with ISIL, etc. Because this is, from our point of view, these accusations actually are nonsense. Because if there are evidence, then the whole world media or other world powers, they could put forward this evidence. Turkey is already suffering from this crisis, from the emergence of ISIL. So I'm not sure that the Russian authorities will convince Central Asian countries. Also, we should identify different groups of states in Central Asia, like Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan. They are even more distanced from Russia in terms of security or economic relations. So that their behavior will be more independent. But this Russian advance, also including this Ukrainian crisis, Ukrainian conflict, in the east of Ukraine, also in Crimea, also in Georgia, also now in Turkish front. In the mid and the long term, it will really make these countries to look for new partners to balance Russia.
Right. Bruce Panier, you had a point about the Central Asian migrant laborers who are going to Russia.
But I just wanted to mention, because Dr. Emanbeyli said that Russia wouldn't convince the Central Asians that Turkey was supporting terrorism. But I would like to point out that most of the Central Asians who have joined militant groups in Syria and Iraq have gone to Russia as migrant laborers and then ended up transiting Turkey to go into Syria and Iraq. And this is well known among the populations of Central Asia. So actually, from the Central Asian point of view, both countries are involved in the terrorism problem, at least as it concerns their own people going to these areas.
I would like to add one point. Actually, the not Turkish soldiers, not Turkish generals are fighting in Syria. Some Turkish citizens or many citizens from Central Asia, they may fight in this Syrian civil war, but what I'm trying to stress that Turkey is not involved in officially or is not involved by her soldiers or military units or generals in this war.
Mr. Menkuch, you might have a point here to raise, but we were talking about the so far what the Central Asians have said, and there are countries who has not said anything, like Turkmenistan, and it will probably not say anything. Even remaining idle is not helping them from being excluded from this tension. Like when Azeri columnist, Bruce, we were talking about this, when Azeri columnist wrote recently that Turkmenistan should forget about Trans-Caspian pipeline, because Russia will not allow anything like this to happen, which can benefit Turkey in this or the other way. The same situation also applies to Kazakhstan, I believe, because Kazakhstan was also intending to send gas to Europe through Turkey. So where does it lead a country like Turkmenistan, who are not saying anything and wants to kind of remaining idle, not taking side, but still affected? Who wants to jump in? Mr. Menkuch?
First of all, speaking about Turkmenistan position,
right,
we should remember that so-called big neutrality is a main part of official ideology in modern in contemporary Turkmenistan. Permanent position of the official Turkmenistan not to take an active part in any kind of conflicts on any side. It is a position established by the first president of the country, and it is supported by official propaganda still. Speaking about the Caspian situation,
right,
we should remember that the problem of any trans-Caspian projects is not only in Russia, who can block or not block something. In the current situation, to establish any kind of trans-Caspian project, you should have an agreement with all Caspian countries, including, for example, Russia, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, and Iran. If one of these countries is against your project, you're going to have problems. First of all, speaking about situations with Turkey, we should remember that Iran is also doesn't like Turkish policy on this situation, on this field, because official Iran do think that Turkey really do support terrorists in Syria. So I think that Iran is going to be first who would block such project, not Moscow.
So, right, it was always difficult. We were skeptic about the possibility of any Trans-Caspian pipeline being implemented. But after this tension, is it possible at all, whether if you consider the Russian opposition or the Iranian oppositions?
First of all, everything is possible in some kind of situation. But now, in this time, in this situation, this project couldn't be started. Maybe maybe once later it would become possible. But now, in the case of Syrian crisis, it's impossible for Iran and maybe, for Moscow.
We are talking about the possible consequences to Central Asia. Now, on one hand, you have the state leaders' policies and opinion about Russia or Turkey on the tension that we are talking about. On the other hand, you have a public opinion. I know in many cases, like in Azerbaijan, for example, a majority of public opinion favors greatly Turkey in any situation, and to a certain extent this is also true in Turkmenistan. It might be vice versa in some other countries in the region. What's the cost of taking this or the other side or remaining idle in this tension for the authorities domestically? Dr. Iman Bailey, you might jump in here.
Actually, I tried to follow also public reactions in Central Asia, also in Azerbaijan. You may find different reactions. At the beginning, some people or some intellectuals, they accepted the Russian view, the Russian version of this, Russian interpretation of the event, and they claimed that Turkey should apologize. But after that, in the social media also, I could see that the events changed, and when the Russian claims also the further accusations in the public opinion, not in official newspapers, the mood changed completely, and the pro-Turkish mood was accepted. But in Central Asia, actually, I had few chances to check. I know some people, some pro-Russian lobbies, they try to give the messages in these countries. Yesterday, I actually read that there was a meeting, a small-scale meeting in Bishkek, protesting Turkey. But in comments written on the news, it seems that there are different attitudes and various attitudes, and it also shows that it's not the year of 1991 or 1990s. There are also many people who have studied in Turkey, who knows Turkey also, who follows news also. They are not only exposed to Russian interpretation, or Russian mass media or propaganda machine. So I have observed the various claims.
Right. Bruce Panier, you might wish to jump in here. So on one hand, you have the opinion expressed by the state leaders or not expressed by the state leaders, but the but there is also certainly a public opinion about this issue. So what it might mean to the authorities of those respective countries?
Well, I was glad that Dr. Imambali brought up the fact that there was a small demonstration yesterday in Bishkek that was anti-Turkish. It was well publicized, even though, in fact, I only saw four or five people out there with signs. But it did show that Kyrgyzstan, not surprisingly, especially in Bishkek and northern Kyrgyzstan, was showing a very pro-Russian attitude. There's the problem is this is a very complicated situation for Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan especially, but also Kyrgyzstan. We also have to remember what happened, in eastern Ukraine right now. And so all the country like Kazakhstan's real worried that they would have the same kind of problem where all of a sudden the Russian population in Kazakhstan might start to complain about their issues there and say that they were unfairly treated. And that would draw the same kind of response that we saw in eastern Ukraine. So this is something they also have to consider when they're trying to figure out what their reaction is to Turkey. Do they want to like say there are Turkish brothers and know that Moscow already has a card they can play, which they have played in eastern Ukraine and could play in northern Kazakhstan? There's still a great number of Russians that are living in northern Kyrgyzstan, so it's the same thing for them there too. Dr. Imambali brought up a good point that there's a lot of people who studied in Turkey who are now back in Central Asia. They're following the news, and you would imagine that their sympathies are probably more with Turkey, especially in a place like Uzbekistan or Turkmenistan, where they're shielded somewhat from Russian influence, and so they don't have the same kind of strong ties with Russia that Kazakhstan or Kyrgyzstan or Tajikistan, for that matter, have. As I said, after what happened, the backdrop to all this is what happened in eastern Ukraine. And all the governments in the region are going to have to understand that no matter what their personal sympathies are or the sympathies of their people, they're going to have to keep that quiet or very muted because they don't want to get the Kremlin's attention all of a sudden. It's strange to say, but it might be something of a blessing right now that they're having so many economic problems because all politics are local, as they say. And I think generally people in Central Asia are probably more worried about their own economic future at the moment. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't give them the luxury of focusing too much on what's happening between Turkey and Russia.
Right. Mr. Mankiewicz, I want to give you a chance for the final word. We could not discuss lots of other questions. Certainly, it's a developing story. So final words, please, Mr. Mankiewicz.
My final word is that public opinion in the region is traditionally pro-Russian. In this situation, it's more pro-Russian because everybody in Central Asia know that in this place, when the air incident, so-called, took place, our active terrorist group called Al-Nusra. This group is recruiting people in the region to take part in the wars in Syria. But more, it's sending terrorist groups back to Kyrgyzstan, to Kazakhstan, to Tajikistan. 2015, special services of these countries do arrest such groups. So everybody in Central Asia do understand that Al-Nusra, that Syria extremists are dangerous for the country of the region. And Russia in Syria really fighting against a threat for all countries of the region. So, in fact, Kazakhstan, official and public opinion, Kyrgyzstan do support Russian position in this situation. Of course, many people do study in Turkey. But it doesn't change the one thing, who is wrong and who is right. You should remember that people who even live in Turkey do not support official position in these situations. A few journalists in Turkey, as you know, were arrested because investigating ties between official Turkeys and terrorists in Syria. This is the problem. Problem isn't in study. The problem isn't in somebody do afraid of Russia. In these situations, Russia is right and Turkey is not. Turkey acts as aggressor. Turkey acts as terrorist support in the region. It is the problem. And this view makes people, makes public in Central Asia to support Russian position.
Bruce, you want to jump in here just for a final word here. Obviously, it's a disputed subject, and the same claims made by the Turkish authorities that they are also fighting terrorists in Syria, and the claim that Russian authorities has. Bruce,
I was going to say essentially the same thing. That I understand Mr. Minkovich's point. Absolutely, I watch Russian news and I read Russian news wires and stuff, so I see their point. But Turkey would say, could flip that around and say exactly almost the same thing.
Yeah.
That they're also part of the fight against these terrorist groups, and they're part of NATO, and NATO is also participating in the fight against these groups, and they've been working with other partners in the region to try to combat the threat of terrorism. And they have been picking up Central Asians when they show up in Turkey every now and then and arresting them and not allowing them to go further. So, they could easily make the same claim. I mean, it's going to come down to who you're going to believe.
Yeah.
In this case. But yes, I understand Mr. Minkovich's point. I would just also add that Turkey would say, and some people in Turkey would say exactly the same thing, but from their point of view.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Bruce Pani, for insightful opinion. And also big thanks goes to Nikita Minkovich, researcher at the Russian International Consul. Also, Dr. Vugar Imanbeyli, International Relations Professor at the Istanbul Seher University. Thank you very much for your time and analysis.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maj.
And dear listeners, you have been listening to Majlis, a Central Asia podcast presented by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Thank you very much for taking time to listen. This is it from me, Mohammed Tahir, Director of the Turkmen Service at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty in Prague. Bye-bye.